Four Republicans are striving to distinguish themselves as candidate for governor. Did they succeed? You're listening to SDPB's Dakota Political Junkies. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. In a debate hosted by SDPB and South Dakota News Watch, Toby Doden, U.S. Representative Dusty Johnson, Governor Larry Roden, and South Dakota Speaker of the House John Hansen presented their policies on everything from taxes to women's health. SDPB's Dakota Political Junkies Seth Tupper and Michael Card offer insight into whether any of these candidates are succeeding in separating themselves from the crowd. Seth Tupper is editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. Michael Card is professor emeritus of political science at the University of South Dakota. We connected with Seth from Rapid City. Mike Card was in the studios here at SDPB. We turned on the microphones shortly after the closing statements.
Well, I think some of the key takeaways for the night is that they gave us a sense of their personalities tonight. Mm-hmm. And they're certainly aggressive. They have plans. They're not always the best descriptions of their plans. But I think that's the start, is they gave us a taste of who they are as human beings and a little bit of their aggressiveness towards winning this race.
Seth, jump in with some, before we get to your key takeaways, a little bit about their personalities. Did we really see them? Were they authentic? Were they being themselves, do you think?
I think yes, for the most part. You know, I think Governor Roden really struggles in a debate format. I think Governor Roden struggles reading from a teleprompter and giving speeches, and he struggles in a debate setting. He does much better one-on-one in informal settings. I think that's you know, when he talked about some of the successes that he's had with the legislature, I think that's because he's good at relating people on a one-to-one basis. Mm. In his opening statements and some of his answers to questions in the debate, it was clear he was, many times he was trying to remember something that he couldn't, and he was stopping and pausing and having some difficulties. So now, does that come off as bad, or does that come off as, hey, this guy is a normal person and that's good? Mm-hmm. You know, we need normal. I don't know. I don't know how that plays, but clearly you had Congressman Johnson, as you know, as you would expect, he's been in televised debates many times, the most experienced debater of everybody up there, was constantly on offense, had a strategy, had several key things that he wanted to get in, obviously, that he was planning to get in and slipped them in seamlessly. Now, I don't know in today's electorate if that comes off as, hey, that guy's really sharp, or that guy's really a politician, you know. And I don't know if Roden being not quite as polished comes off as that guy's not polished, or that guy's genuine and sincere.
One of the goals, and you heard this in their opening statements, was they were all, and I think it's always worth noting how often Larry Roden says it takes more than being a smooth talker to do this job. You need to be able to get results. He is aware of how he comes across with, you know, how he might hesitate or take a pause. He consistently says, that's part of who I am, and it takes more than just being able to put a bunch of pretty words together. To Seth's point, is that effective for voters? I guess that remains to be seen. Distinguishing themselves, Toby Doden came out of the gate with his opening statement saying, there is a stark contrast between me and my opponents. And then throughout, you heard them, I think, all of them say, I'm the only one up here who has done this. I'm the only. So they're really trying hard, Mike, to make sure that voters know that they, of the four candidates, are the only one who does this. Was anyone successful at really distinguishing themselves tonight?
If we just look at the words, the answer is yes, because they kept repeating the statements of, I'm the only one. And if those items that they were the only ones to do were important to you, then that may have stuck with the voters. We found out the issues that were important to them based on the questions that were asked. So I don't know that we know still who they are, because this is a strange environment to judge the character of a person. Mm. You might see how smooth a talker they are, how quickly they can respond, but this isn't a policy debate. This is getting things done. And they all claimed that they could get things done, and they gave their own examples, whether it's Doden in building businesses and from his perspective pulling himself out of poverty. From John Hansen's, it was protecting the little guy. I should say Speaker Hansen. I don't mean to be disrespectful. For Governor Roden, it was I talk to people, find out where they're coming from, and try to get a plan to get there.
Yeah.
And then with Representative Johnson, he's got plans with names for everything, and he might be capable of pulling them off.
Yeah, he pitched himself as the big vision guy.
The big
I'm
vision
the one who has the big vision here. Right. We need more than stability and leadership. We need big vision. Seth, how do they distinguish themselves to you? Anything that you would add to that?
I think Mike said it really well on sort of their identity. You know, on a policy perspective, you know, I think you hit it with Dusty trying to single himself out as the only guy with big vision and big plans. And he did say during the debate one new thing where he would move the Medicaid program into the Department of Health and create a position for a state surgeon general. He sees that as part of his, you know, big vision identity. You know, whether that is a big vision, that's, you know, you can debate that. But on a policy level, you know, Roden tried to pitch himself as the only guy who's been governor, has gotten results. I thought he in both debates he missed some opportunities where, you know, he mentioned, you know, the biggest economic development projects in state history in the last debate and this debate, and then never said what they were. I still assume he's talking about the Smithfield project to move out of you know, downtown Sioux Falls and to the north edge of Sioux Falls and the investment there. But he keeps saying that he's helped shepherd the biggest economic development project in state history and then never identifies it. But he did get in some things about his efforts on getting property tax relief passed and getting a prison deal passed. But again, he didn't really explain. Well, he did talk about the prison deal being sort of in a mess when he inherited it, and getting that across the finish line and a plan to build a new prison in Sioux Falls. And Doden, really, I mean, he's the I'm going to repeal property taxes guy, or phase out property taxes, as he said repeatedly throughout the night. There's a lot of questions about his plan to do that, given I think, as he said it, you know, it's some combination of cutting spending, waste, fraud, and abuse, alternative revenue sources, and growing the economy. Mm-hmm. Pretty mushy plan there to eventually get rid of property taxes. And then Hansen, I think on policy, was the only guy who consistently brought up social issues. He referred to himself as a Christian several times. He talked about abortion several times, and really tried to make himself stand out on social issues, I thought.
Biblically based. He said he was a biblically based Christian. Toby Doden said in his candidate interview with me that extra revenue was going to come from taxing the trust industry. He did not mention that tonight, but he has said that publicly before. So that's one of the areas that he's looking at getting. And to Seth's point about a surgeon general, that was in a series of the debate where they were talking about women's health issues. What's next for the anti-abortion or pro-life initiative? And they talked about mothers, infant, maternity, death rates. Lots going on there. That was a difficult segment, I think, for all four candidates. I don't know if that's a stretch to say or not. But Mike Card, what did you think when they were talking about how they were going to address maternal health, the lack of services for women in South Dakota?
And clearly the lack of services in rural areas for women. Mm-hmm. And they didn't address that at all, except a couple of them identified this is a problem, and it's not clear how we can get more doctors in rural areas if we move the medical school out of the rural areas and put it in the city. Mm-hmm. But that's another story. And the issue that they have is they say we need help with education. Well, we also know that that's related to kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, mm-hmm. getting people socialized to school. I'm not sure that, as Speaker Hansen noted, that parents are the best people to educate their children. They should certainly have a voice. That voice should be offered to the school board and the district, and have it be heard. We certainly have the most responsibility, but that was also sort of, I think, skating into the area of vouchers. And, you know, it's we're going to pay for these with state dollars, and that's a voucher to me. And we know that most of the time, wealthy individuals take advantage of school vouchers in surrounding states. But overall, it was watching a group of men talk about maternal and child health, stumble around a little bit, but I'm not sure I expected anything different than what they
did. Seth, is there a missed opportunity there? I mean, obviously we have four male candidates, and there's a question about women's health. What's a better way for them to address that? Would that
I'm glad you asked that, because, you know, I mean, it's easy to say now in hindsight, you have a chance to think about it, but the better way to answer would probably be, look, I'm a man, I've never been pregnant, you know, and to have a plan to have women in key positions in your administration and to get the perspective of women on that might have been, and to acknowledge that maybe you aren't fully researched and grounded in that issue if you're not, rather than trying to stumble through a response like I feel like a lot of them did. And I'm not, you know, I'd have been the same way. You know, I can't sit here and rattle off how to solve problems with infant and maternal mortality. You know, mm-hmm. It's a big issue. But I felt we did see the deficits there of not having any women running for statewide office in South Dakota this year, except for Lieutenant Governor.
They're all fathers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Every last one was a father. They're all married. It seems like it would have been an opportunity to, as Seth said, Mike, acknowledge that you're not going to be the person to run point on this,
right,
but that here are the women who I'm listening to and might appoint into leadership positions to help come up with what works.
Yeah. And including my spouse.
Including my spouse. You know, there was just opportunities there that they perhaps missed. I felt that they were all trying to demonstrate in their own way that they cared. Each one had something that I guess you would say maybe was trying to pass for empathy and concern, but not necessarily. I think Dusty said, you know, we're gonna bring that number down.
Yeah.
Like he probably made the boldest promise to say, we're gonna address it.
Right. And we're
he said, I'm excited about this, which came off a little bit clunky because it made it sound like he was excited about the
lack
the
of
rate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what he meant
it's
was
an opportunity, he said.
Yeah. It's an opportunity to do something big is what, you know, what he was saying.
I guess I don't know where to go with that other than I think you've summarized the point very well.
Right. Well, and just to underscore, nobody really had a solution that they proposed. Right. I mean, as we said, Dusty said, you know, Congressman Johnson said that he would move Medicaid in the Department of Health and appoint a state attorney general or a state surgeon general. He didn't really connect how exactly that's going to improve outcomes with infant and maternal mortality. And, you know,
versus the secretary of the Department of Health. Yeah.
Right. And Representative Hansen said he would surge resources. Was very vague on that. Toby Doden said he would convince the big three healthcare providers to build more stuff in rural areas. Well, I'm not clear how that's going to help maternal or infant mortality either. Governor Roden talked about, you know, we need to do more research and know the causes. Well, I mean, you know, yeah, but I'm guessing the research is probably out there. But I don't think they were prepared for it.
Right. They were, yes, I think that's a strong way to pivot to the next thing, which is they were prepared to talk about property taxes and sales taxes, and they brought that up and circled back to that a lot. My question is, Representative Johnson was probably more than anybody else on the attack regarding taxes. Did he get in the weeds with what exactly he was talking about once the other candidates had a chance to rebuttal, or was he clear to the voters and to the viewers of what exactly he was talking about?
I don't know, other than this was the same point he tried to make in the first debate, which was that there were three tax policies that that the legislature passed and that the governor signed into law. And he got the first one out, and that is that we're increasing the sales tax. Well, the sales tax was going to increase anyway, no matter what we did. The Speaker Hansen noted, well, I wasn't going to get my bill through, so let's see if we can, and he didn't say this, we're going to use reserves to fund it for 1 year, and then we'll use the increase in the sales tax to fund property tax relief. I don't think that Representative Johnson got his second and third points in, and especially not the last one, which is his 10-cent sales tax, and I think he's going to have to explain that more if he wants to make it something that's important to voters. Yeah. But in any case, they're all replacing the property tax with the sales tax. They're talking about new revenue, but they really don't have ideas about new revenue other than taxing perhaps the trust industry or something else, right. You know.
Which we didn't hear tonight.
No, we didn't hear tonight.
I'm just saying I've heard it before. Yeah. So, yeah, Seth, taxes, was there a clear takeaway from that?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, I try to think about who's watching this and did people really follow? I mean, there's a lot of complexity in what they passed this legislative session, and are people fully aware of that? If you were kind of heard that the legislature did something on taxes and you kind of know but don't really, what you probably saw was just what Congressman Johnson wanted you to see, which was him going on the attack about this guy over here, Governor Roden, signed 3 property tax or sales tax increase bills this legislative session. And he put the governor and he put John Hansen on defense on that. And they tried to explain, oh, we did it because of this. And we did it, you know. And now, I mean, the reality is, yeah, they passed bills trading property tax reductions for sales tax increases. But, you know, there were 3 bills that would either raise or impose new sales taxes. And so I think it's a pretty effective, you know, we are talking about a Republican primary here and right. People that are supposedly against new taxes and big government spending. And if you can launch an attack on your opponent that says he signed 3 sales tax increase bills during the last legislative session, there's a chance that can be pretty effective, I think. And obviously, Congressman Johnson, who probably has the polling on this, you know, with all the money he's got in his campaign, he obviously thinks it's effective because he's made that as a central focus of his campaign for several weeks now.
Yeah.
In his ads and the 2 debates.
Yeah. So, Johnson, I've got a big vision. You fell down on taxes. We can do way better. Roden, I have the stability. I can listen to people. I'm solving problems. I'm getting results. I'm the only person who knows what this is like on the inside. Hansen, I've been on the front lines. It were his words for on Amendment G. I've been fighting for your faith, your family. I'm that guy. And Toby Doden, all these guys are politicians. Listen to me over here in business. I've been building successful teams, pulled myself out of poverty. I can change the course of South Dakota economic history.
That's a really good summary of what mm-hmm. they put themselves out to be.
What do they have to do next? There's another debate.
Well,
they know each other. They know each other now.
Right.
They've had 2. They're moving into a third, which is the Dakota Scout Sioux Falls Live debate.
Well, I think that we've identified the various mm-hmm. weaknesses they have, and that those part of their strengths and personalities aren't going to resonate with all of the voters,
right.
But it is a Republican primary, not a primary that's an open or a jungle primary. Mm-hmm. So I think they're hoping that what they have to say about themselves will resonate with people. And I suspect in the third debate, they will have their knives out to attack each other on the points that they're trying to make more so than come up with anything new. We hope that we see more of what vision they have.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the vision is civility, if the vision is we can work together to solve problems as opposed to I have the solutions and y'all just need to get in line, or I'm a businessman and I can make this happen, or it's if we have faith, family, and the like, it'll all be good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's sort of a shorthanded critique of the various strengths that they put forward.
Yeah.
But that's where I think they're going to do. The knives will be out on the third debate. And
Seth, predictions, expectations for the third debate?
Know,
a wish
list? I will
list?
Say
yeah.
One thing that just occurred to me, you know, talking about civility,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe we don't give them enough credit. This was a very civil debate. So was the first one. I mean, I think I would
think
like
so
to
too.
Acknowledge
yeah.
that, you yeah. know, unlike a lot of politics today in South Dakota, for the most part, we've been able to have people and the political stage have been able to debate issues and not get personal and not engage in name calling. So that was,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I think that's been a good thing. I think what I see Congressman Johnson and Governor Roden doing, and maybe that's because they're the only ones with the resources and the experience to to know this and from past campaigns, is you do see Congressman Johnson, he's hitting the sales tax thing in the debates repeatedly over and over. He's running TV ads that say, unlike some others, I think is how he says it in the TV ad, I would not support, you know, multiple new sales taxes or something to that effect. So he's carrying his message from the debates into the advertising, into, you know, what he's doing. And Governor Roden is doing that too. You know, you heard him in the debate talk about, you know, it's one thing to talk about plans, but I have, you know, I've been getting results. He's trying to repeat that, you know, during the debate, and he's saying that in his ads that you're seeing him run. And so they're trying to establish an identity and with voters and establish a few key sort of platform issues that they can be identified with and carry that consistently through to the election. You know, for John Hansen, I don't know that he's got enough resources to get his message out. I mean, you hear from him in the debate and you don't really hear from him otherwise, unless you go to one of his events or something. And, you know, Toby Doden, you know, when you see his advertising or hear his advertising, you know, he's doing a little bit of the same thing. He's talking about, I'm not a politician, and the other guys are, you know, career politicians, right, and all you hear from them is the same thing. And so I think that's what they'll try to do is those things that they've identified that is part of their identity and good issues for them is carry those through, you know, for the debate to their advertising, to their stump speeches, and, you know, push that on through to June.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, here we are at early voting, supposed to start already.
Yep.
At the end of this week.
Yeah, exactly.
And I hope that the viewers would watch this again on the YouTube channel, because they do get to see how the candidates present themselves, a little bit about what they see as a more desirable future for South Dakota, and maybe a little bit of sniping back and forth, but it draws some distinctions between and among them.
Yeah.
But democracy can be served, and if we can get our voters to take a look and to see who do they think would be the best to lead our state forward, then democracy is being served.
Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you so much for staying up late as everyone else is going home. we turn on the microphone and get you at the end of the day. So I appreciate your willingness to do that.
Well, I think Seth got a much tougher job. He's got to write a story. I get to put this away and just
I got the mountain time zone advantage. I'm an hour behind you. So at least I got that going for me. So.
That's Michael Card, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at the University of South Dakota, and Seth Tupper. He's Editor-in-Chief of South Dakota Searchlight. And that's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. You can hear the entire debate on the In the Moment podcast. Find it on your favorite podcast platform. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.